We up to Simon Shin Pei Bei Sif Hey, page 500. We are discussing the interesting halachas regarding a goy living in the chutz, in the courtyard. We want to know, how do we make sure that everybody's allowed to carry in this chutz, in this courtyard? A goy cannot participate in the eruv. A goy cannot do the bittel. So how do we do that? So we discussed previously that halacha is, you got to do a schiris. You need to rent out from this, from the goy, the reshus. You need to rent out from the goy. We learned last year that you don't need to be specific. You don't need to be specific. And in Sifhei, we're going to be discussing the question, do you need to actually give a shavaput or not? Fascinating question. We generally know that any acquisitions, any kinyonim, anything that you need to do, generally speaking, how much do you need to give, at the very least? You need to give a shavaputa. How much is the equivalent of a shavaputa nowadays? How much is a shavaputa? We're talking about pennies, literally pennies. If you don't do a shavaputa, any acquisition that you attempt to do without a shavaputa, it's not a kinyon, it's nothing. It's got to be a shavaputa. Now, with regards to this goy who has got his chotzer and he's got bias in the chotzer, we want to know as to whether how much you need to give him. So let's say he says, all right, yeah, I'm fine, I'll rent it out for you. The question is, how much? How much for? So he says, oh, give anything. And I've got only a 5p coin. No, what's the? There's a 2p coin. You know what? There's even a 1p coin for some reason. Have you ever used it? Have you actually ever used it? All right, okay. So, seriously, just throw it back in there. Yeah. So the question is, okay, let's say 2p. I wonder if 2p shall I put or not. I'm not sure. But can you perform this schiris with the goy by just giving 2 pence, or do you need to do shavaputa? So fascinating, halacha in Sifhei is teaching us, soichin mein yehudi, you are allowed to do schiris from a yehudi, from a goy. Yes, you need to hire out from, how much? Soichin mein yehudi, afilu bepachim shavaputa, even if it is less than a shavaputa. Yes, even if it is less than a shavaputa. You cannot do any kinyonim in the whole world if it's less than a shavaputa. Be it with a yid, be it with a goy, you cannot do it. If it's less than shavaputa, what he was learning, you can do less than shavaputa. Why? Why? Why is it that you can do this chirus, this genuine renting process of this goy, and you can do it with less than shavaputa? More than that, the Rama is opening up even a greater question by saying the following 5 words. Four words. And you can even do that process on Shabbos. So suddenly on Shabbos you realize, oh no, we've got this block of flats, there's one goy here, everybody else is yid. And you suddenly realize, oh, 1 second here, we can't carry it because the goy is not part of the, he's not part of the Eichatzeres. How am I going to deal with it? So you go up to the goy and say, do you mind if I just rent out your property? He says, sure, by all means. Huh? Done. That's it. No payment required. It works. On Shabbos, you can't pay, right? So what are you going to do? It works. So mutalis kem menu b'Shabbos. We're learning. No shavaputa required. Chiddush number one. Chiddush number two, you can even perform this chiddush on Shabbos. How does that work? How does that make sense? We're talking about renting out this property, and we're saying that's going to work without shavaputa, and it can work on Shabbos. Says the Mishnah Berurah. Very interesting. That's really the key to this. And that will be the Mishnah Berurah and Seif Katan Chav Beis, which is as follows. Be Shabbos. No, I'm going to go even a little bit back in Seif Katan Chav Aleph. Afilu Beshpochos Mishavaput, even if it is less than a Shavaput. Hatam. The reason is, Telegabe Akum Choshiv Momin. For a goy, this is considered money. The whole concept of a shavaputa is only something which applies to Eden. You don't like that. The legal requirement of a shavaputa is only something which applies to Eden. For Yid, shavaputa is money. Less than shavaputa is no money. To a goy, all you need is a transaction. And transaction, if it's a shavaputa, is fine. And therefore, the benach nerik afilu pachsum shavaputa. Yes, in some areas of halacha, we're learning that a goy is more stringent than a Jew. Did you know that? In some areas of halacha, a goy has got more stringency than a yid. And that would be for shavaputa. For yid, anything which is shavaputa is considered money.
Is that the kinyan then?
Yeah, so you give him one P, he say,
they have to the
you just give him the, you give him the 1 pence coin. And he say, this is my, this is the budget for the rental of your property. And he says, oh, sure, all right. And then, okay, that's it. But you can even do that on Shabbos. That's going to be without the pence. How do you do it on Shabbos? Mishabur says, and that's probably even more important, because he says, it is not a complete, certain renting process. Elo, kebitul reshus veheker ba'alma. Now, the last two words are key, because he says, veheker ba'alma. What's the translation of veheker ba'alma? Veheker. A heker. What's a heker? Yeah, oh, that's good. That's good. Very good. A general sign of recognition. That's it. Because that's what it is, really. So it's not, yes, of course, it's, yes, there is a legal process here, but it's a, in the world of heker be'alma, it's a general, it's very good. It's a general recognition, general sign of recognition. That's what you've done. So now you don't even need that transaction of giving the pence. You can actually just do it verbally with the going, that's good enough. So again, Rabbi Yisai, 1 pence is enough, and less than a shor puter. And more than that, if you were doing it on Shabbos, you don't even need to actually give him anything, because it's a heker ba'alma. So, what would be the halacha if you go up to him and you say, you know, if you want to, if it's on Shabbos, only realize in the block of flats, he suddenly realized, oh, hold on here, I forgot that the guy, Mr. Smith up there, I never realized that he's part of the chotzer. And how are we going to carry in this staircase? And then you realize it's Shabbos. Now, you don't want to just go up to him. You don't want to just go up to him and just say, you know, can I do renting? So what you're going to do is go up to the guy. You bring this pot of cholent and you say, Mr. Smith, if we want to carry on Shabbos, we must actually give you something. And then you're going to rent out the, I can't give you money because I'm a Jew. Why don't you taste some of this Jewish food called cholent? And he says, this? No way. And then he said, oh, please have some of it. And that's my payment for the renting of the, of that. Does that work? We're saying it's a heker ba'alma. Can you give cholent or any food items? Does that work? You bring him a bit of challah, I don't know, giving him food items as opposed to money. Will that work? Will that less than Shabbat Buddha works? Does food work? Should work, says the Mishnah Berurah. Indeed. The Poiskim state, that's the early Poiskim, to Noisel or Dvar Meichel, you can even give him food item. Yes, you may give him food item, or call the Vamutta the Taltel, or anything which is non mukta, and you say to him, this is what I'm paying for your shos in the chotzer. You're allowed to walk in the chotzer, that's what I'm paying for you to give it over to me. But of course, if it's on Shabbos, you mustn't give it to him. If it's on Shabbos, you mustn't give him coins. And that's how it works. So yes, Rabbi Yisai, food works, less than Shabbat Buddha works.
You can do that on Shabbos?
Yes, you may. Very good. Very good. Excellent question. I can't make a kinyan on Shabbos. How can you give him a cholent? The answer is, the words that we said earlier in the Mishnah Berurah, it's a heker ba'alma. It is not an absolute kinyan. The way this works is not completely in the world of kinyanim. It's more, I don't want to use symbolic. Because symbolic sounds a little bit too flowery, shall we say. It's not really a symbolic. It's more the fact that the way this process works is by making a heker ba'alma, a heker, a seminary, general recognition. And you can do that by actually giving him some food. That will do. Yeah. And less than Shabbat Puter. Now, how long does it actually last? So if you've done this transaction, shall we say, how long can you carry in this chotzer? A week? This Shabbos? A month? A year? 10 years? Infinite. How long? How long does he work? Or we can ask Rabbi Lima next week, how often does he actually do the kid? How often do you need to do that? How often do you need to make that transaction with the guy in order to enable you to carry in the chotzer? Very good. Says, spot on. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Seif Vav. Infinite. As long as the guy says, Nothing. It just keeps going and going and going and going. It keeps going. Vafil is mamarub even for extended period of time. It lasts. Goy cannot say, I've had enough of this business. I don't want anything to do with the, with that, that's it. He can't just stop it unless he returns the money. So that pence that he gave you 17 years ago, he physically needs to give it back to you if he wants it to stop the, or the cholent. How is he going to do with the cholent? The value of the cholent, which is nearly infinite. He needs to give you something back. If he's not giving you anything back, the transaction remains valid. Rabbi said this is really important because we're learning now that this transaction doing with the goy, in theory, you need to do it once and at last. It keeps going and going and going and going. So you don't really need to do it on a yearly basis. But what will happen if you say, okay, this kenyan of it, this £10 I'm giving you is for us to carry in the domain for 1 year. You can't stipulate that, and you can't just qualify and define, and you can't do that as well, the period of time. And that's if Zion. If you qualify it for a certain amount of time, for a fixed set time, once the time is over, then you obviously need to go over it again. Question to be asked. Do you still have the list of the questions? We want to know, how often does Rabbi Lieberman of the Edre Eruv, how often does he actually do this transaction? How often does he do that? Does he do it yearly does he just do it once? Okay, we need to work out, because you can't stipulate, you make it for 1 year only. Because if you did it once and you fix the time to a certain period of time, you've got to renew it afterwards again and make a fresh eruv. I wouldn't know why it is.
Why would you do it?
Why would you only do it for a fixed amount of time? Good question. I don't know what the benefit of it is. Good question. I don't know. Why would you do it for a fixed amount of time only if you can't do it for longer than that? Yeah? Perhaps. Perhaps if the guy said, I'm only doing that for 1 year. Okay. Yeah, what happens then? Perhaps. And finally for tonight's Yehudi, if you are renting it from the goy, it is man you do for a fixed amount of time. Interesting question. So block of flat, 15 flats. The goy in the flat, you rented out from him and you paid him you gave him a cholent, you gave him £5, you gave him something for him to rent out, and therefore you'd have to make an. What happens if within that time, he made it, let's say, for 5 years or for 1 year, but in that time, he subletted it to somebody else. Do you need to make a new transaction with a new resident? Subletting. Does that cancel the guy that you did the transaction with, the guy that took the £5 and that ate the cholent and that he moved away now, he bought a new villa in California, and now he's not going to be coming so quickly back, but he subletted this flat to somebody else. To another goy. Do you need to make a new transaction with the tenant or not? You do.
Is it the owner or people living?
People living. Says the Shulchan Aruch, you don't need to die reservation. It's good enough. It's good enough to do with the former. You do not, if the transaction was made for a fixed amount of time, and there's a person subletting, that's good enough. That's it. So you don't have to worry about the fact that somebody else is coming under him. So that's it for tonight. Let's just summarize what we covered this evening. We learned more halachas on the concept of renting out the goy's shus and thereby allowing carrying in the chotzer. If there's a goy living in that chotzer, how do you deal with it? So we learned that you do not need a shavaputa for that transaction because it's a hekka ba'alma. We learned you can even do this process on Shabbos. We learned that it's infinite. You can make it infinite. It does last. We also learned you can make it for a fixed amount of time and then renew it. And we learned also that if a goy subletted to somebody else, then you do not need to go for the tenant underneath, because whatever the transaction was initially, that will last. Okay, these are the halachas for this evening, and we'll continue tomorrow. Im Yirtzeh Hashem. Good evening.